Presented by Facebook.
Good Thursday morning. I'm Adrienne Hurst, and welcome to your Playbook Daily Briefing, where coffee is definitely infrastructure. We've got the latest on Republicans' counteroffer to Biden's infrastructure jobs plan, SCOTUS reform action, and more. But first, it's one of the unspoken dynamics on Capitol Hill. Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have a chilly relationship. They always have. We have an excerpt this morning in Politico Mag of a new book by USA Today Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page. She dives into just how tense things got between the speaker and the squad back in the summer of 2019. At one point, Pelosi, pressed on how she really feels about the quartet of newly elected progressives, appeared to mock them in a baby voice and take a swipe at their social media savvy. She referenced former Approps Chair Dave Obey, saying, "Some people come here, as Dave Obey would have said, to pose for holy pictures." Then she raised her voice like she was mimicking a child and added, "See how perfect I am and how pure?" She continued, "Okay, there's the group that's going to pose for holy pictures. Now let's legislate over here." Harsh, Nancy. Pelosi and AOC are some of the most influential Dems in the entire party, but they're more rivals than allies. At the time Page sat down with Pelosi for this book, the speaker and AOC had been locking horns over a series of comments Pelosi made belittling AOC's power. AOC made headlines at the time by saying Pelosi's words were disrespectful and hurtful. Her chief of staff also stuck up for his boss, mocking Pelosi for claiming to be a legislative mastermind when voters, he said, couldn't name a single kitchen table issue she'd passed. That, as well as staffers' attacks on moderate members, was too much for Pelosi, who delivered what Page deemed a not-so-veiled threat. She said, "They'll understand when they have something they want to pass. If you have something that you want to pass, you're better off not having your chief of staff send out a tweet in the manner in which that was sent out. Totally inappropriate." Notably, that chief of staff is gone now. Squad members didn't respond to requests for comment, although Pelosi spokesman Drew Hamill said the speaker has a strong working relationship with the squad and wasn't referring to them specifically with her Obey quote. But AOC's former comms director Corbin Trent accused Pelosi of being, quote, "jealous of the young members." He added, "I think it's a little disgusting to go in there and then say these freshman women of color of Congress are going in and posing for pictures." Now, it's important to note that this exchange happened a long time ago. A House Democrat who likes both Pelosi and AOC tells Playbook that while other members of the squad have better relationships with the speaker, with those two, it can be up and down. "It's not warm and friendly," the person said, "but it's not as hostile as it was at different moments." Here's what else is driving the day in D.C. Infrastructure year is in full swing, folks, and Republicans are working on a counteroffer to Biden's $2 trillion-plus plan. Their proposal? It's likely to be in the range of $600 to $800 billion, according to several GOP senators. They say it'll be more targeted in scope, and instead of being funded by a corporate tax hike, it'll rely on unspecified user fees. By now, you've heard the Republican rhetoric around Biden's plan that its definition of infrastructure is way too broad. And Republican senators interviewed about the counter suggest it'll stick to that script. Shelley Moore Capito told Politico Sam Mintz, "What I'd like to do is get back to what I consider the regular definition of infrastructure in terms of job creation. So that's roads, bridges, ports, airports, including broadband into that, water infrastructure." Mitt Romney said it's not clear yet if the counter will be offered by just Republicans or by a bipartisan group. A few Dems have criticized the Biden plan size or substance, and some have expressed concerns about corporate tax hikes as the funding source. Senator Deb Fischer suggested Republicans could propose splitting the package into several bills and using different pay-fors for different pieces. Already, some Democrats are saying absolutely not to the GOP counteroffer. Bernie Sanders told the Washington Post it's nowhere near what we need. Not to mention, he said, we have to address the existential threat of climate change. Now, two Democratic priorities got the green light yesterday, but are now facing uphill battles. First, that historic reparations vote. A House committee approved for the first time a bill that would set up a commission to consider giving direct payments to Black Americans for slavery and centuries of racism. The bill was approved along party lines, as expected. It's been proposed every Congress for three decades, but neither chamber has committed to a floor vote just yet. Second, a D.C. statehood bill got committee approval yesterday. That one set up for likely passage in the full chamber. But then, of course, it'll face hurdles in the Senate, where it'll need 60 votes to pass. Also today, House and Senate Dems are making good on their calls for court reform. They're introducing legislation today to expand the number of Supreme Court justices from 9 to 13. Senator Ed Markey and Representative Jerry Nadler are leading the bill, and it's the first in recent years designed to actually add seats to the high court, something progressives have been pushing for as they've watched Senate Republicans fill three SCOTUS vacancies in 4 years under Trump. Many moderates in the Senate and Joe Biden aren't big fans of the idea, also known as court packing. Instead, the White House announced last week the creation of a bipartisan commission to study reforms to the Supreme Court and produce a report. Finally, this morning, Politico's national security team has an illuminating behind-the-scenes peek into what led to Biden's announcement on Afghanistan yesterday. After 2 decades, troops have an end date on America's longest war, September 11th. But it took a White House ready to pull rank on the military. As Biden weighed a full exit from the country this spring, top military leaders advocated for keeping a small U.S. presence on the ground made up primarily of special operations forces and paramilitary advisors. They argued that a force of a few thousand troops was necessary to keep the Taliban in check and prevent Afghanistan from once again becoming a haven for terrorists. That's according to 9 former and current U.S. officials. But in the end, Biden and his top national security deputies did what no previous president has done successfully. They overrode the brass. It's Secretary of State Antony Blinken and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan who are truly running the Pentagon, according to 2 former officials familiar with the discussions. Now let's take a look at Biden's Thursday. The president and VP Harris will get the president's daily brief at 10:15 this morning. The two will have lunch at 12:30 in the private dining room, and at 2 p.m., Biden and Harris will meet with the Congressional Asian Pacific American Caucus Executive Committee in the Oval Office. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki will brief at 12:30 p.m. Subscribe to the Playbook newsletter at politico.com/playbook. And to hear the very first episode of Politico's brand new podcast, make sure you're subscribed to Playbook Deep Dive. The first episode drops next Friday. You can find the show wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Adrienne Hurst. Thanks, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's been 25 years since lawmakers passed comprehensive internet regulations. But the internet has changed a lot since then, and it's time for an update. That's why Facebook supports updated internet regulations to set clear guidelines for addressing today's toughest challenges, like protecting privacy, fighting misinformation, reforming Section 230, and more. See our progress on key issues and what's next at about.fb.com/regulations.